It's time now for our weekly look at Congress with USA Today's Congress and Politics editor Paul Singer. You can find him here at this time every Wednesday.
The Congressional Budget Office released its prediction yesterday of what would happen to the American economy if the minimum wage was raised to $10.10 an hour.
Also, this past Monday marked the fifth anniversary of President Obama's 2009 stimulus bill, and members of Congress duked it out over what the legacy of that bill should be.
Paul, it's great to have you back with us.
Well, great to be here. Thanks.
So what did the Congressional Budget Office have to say about how that $10.10 an hour minimum wage hike could affect the economy?
Well, they said two things that caught a lot of attention. The first thing they said is that it could cost 500,000 jobs if you raise the minimum wage to $10.10, because the cost of the workforce will simply require people to scale back their hiring. The other half of what they said is that it would increase the standard of living for people who are getting those wages, lifting something like 900,000 people out of poverty and raising the wages for, I think, like 16 million people. So, again, two sides of a coin. Needless to say, Republicans jumped on this notion that raising the minimum wage would cost 500,000 jobs. Democrats jumped on the notion that it would raise people out of poverty, and the fur began to fly immediately. Also sort of interesting that the White House, as you know, President Obama has called for an increase in the minimum wage, the White House held a conference call with reporters shortly after the CBO report was released to basically debunk it. Their argument is that CBO is using a wrong methodology, in effect, and that the impact on jobs would be much, much less because, oh, an increased minimum wage increases productivity and stops people from quitting their jobs and stuff like that. But it was really interesting to see the White House come out. Obviously, they're taking this very seriously and directly contradict the CBO report and say, no, they got it wrong.
Is that unusual that the White House would come out and comment on it?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's not unusual they would comment on it. I think what was sort of unusual was the they jumped pretty much immediately to the phones and called the reporters and said, let's go talk about this. I mean, it's clear they're taking it very, very seriously.
So it sounds like this is a story that we will likely see playing out as the election seasons unfold.
Yeah, well, you won't have to wait that long either. The Senate Democrats are expected to bring a minimum wage increase to the Senate floor. I think the target date now is early March. And they, as you were hinting at, they want to force Republicans to vote against a minimum wage increase. Whether or not it is good policy, good economic policy, I do not know. But I will tell you that I do know that it is generally good for the Democrats. They think it polls very, very well as a political point. And so they want to force the Republicans to vote no. Republicans, you know, by and large, argue that it's bad for jobs, it's bad for the economy, it's the wrong way to go. But they also are looking for ways to, address the problem and kind of defang this. You know, are there ways that we do well with other kind of cuts, maybe with other sort of rollbacks of regulations? Is there anything we do to offset it, find another way to do it so that it's not as poisonous a political item for them?
Paul, any sense yet if this report looks to change the future prospects for a possible minimum wage increase one way or the other right now?
You know, it's hard to say. I'm not particularly optimistic it's going to pass anyhow, because getting almost anything through the House of Representatives at this point is impossible. That is to say, getting any of the Democratic priorities through the House of Representatives is almost impossible. I'm not sure this changes that. In fact, to some degree, it's given the Republicans ammunition to say, hey, 500,000 jobs lost if you raise this minimum wage, and that's not coming from us. That's coming from the independent analysis at the CBO.
And yet you said the Democrats are seeing this as a pretty popular topic, one that they think people want to see championed. Is that going to have any bearing?
Well, I mean, again, this is one of those conversations. Policy and politics are different things. You know, I'm not convinced we're going to change policy this year, but that won't stop us from making a lot of political hay over it.
Okay. Well, still on the topic of the minimum wage, we haven't seen any movement on unemployment benefits, a related matter there. Where do those stand?
Yeah, there's going to be another attempt to get something done, I suppose, in the next couple of weeks. Again, Republicans are looking for some way to move on this. There have been some talks about a possibility of a deal. You know, the issue here is argued throughout that they're not opposed to extending unemployment benefits, by and large, as long as they're paid for somehow. There should be spending cuts to offset it. Otherwise, it just becomes more debt. And whether there is some way to figure that out is sort of the next question. Can you? One of the things they did just before they left was agreed to extend or to reinstate some pension benefits for military retirees, and they figured out a way to pay for that. So the Democrats are now going to come back and say, "Well, how come you're willing to pay for, you know, to use this mechanism to pay for military pensions, but not for unemployment benefits? Doesn't that seem unfair?" So you'll see more of that conversation coming up next week, and it's possible that that something will happen. Again, I'm in general less and less enthusiastic about the ability of Congress to pass almost anything, but it's plausible.
Any idea where that particular issue stands on the to-do list right now?
Well, my sense is that next week that's not on the House's agenda. They're going to be taking up flood insurance, of all things. The Senate, I think, has taken up a couple of nominations, so it's certainly not, you know, a Monday afternoon kind of thing. Unemployment and minimum wage, I think, will be first up in the Senate. I don't think they have anything they want to do on unemployment at the moment. So until we figure out whether the House has come up with some way to pass it, I'm not sure you're going to see any action in the immediate future.
Well, this past Monday, as we mentioned earlier, there's an interesting anniversary of sorts that happened, the fifth anniversary of President Obama's stimulus package. Yeah. Members of Congress wanted to have their say on that and the legacy of it. What did you hear?
Well, you know, again, a lot of it depends on where you sit, I guess. You know, one of the first things that President Obama did was get past this $800 billion stimulus package. You know, the administration remains proud of that. They don't talk a lot about it anymore. Some of it's old news, but they remain proud of it. And their argument is it stemmed the bleeding in the economy. It is clear it did not have the kind of rapid turnaround they were hoping for. They were making predictions about immediate reductions in the unemployment rate and a quick turnaround, and that didn't happen. It took years for the unemployment rate to come down. So to some degree, you know, they stopped talking about it. But now, 5 years later, they put out an announcement saying, look, we prevented a double-dip recession. The economy has improved, has bounced back. We're proud of that, and it was a landmark achievement. The Republicans said basically exactly the opposite, that the stimulus bill was largely a waste, a giveaway to a bunch of Obama cronies. It went into a whole bunch of goofball projects, wind farms and stuff that didn't really have any economic viability, didn't create a whole lot of jobs in the United States. I think what has happened now over the 5 years has become less relevant. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be running on the stimulus bill in 2014 and certainly not in 2016. But it is an interesting window into what is your philosophy of government. Also, just might mention, USA Today had a nice story, we're proud of ourselves, on Monday, that turns out there's been a whole bunch of investigations of fraud in that bill, but very, very, very little actual loss. Maybe couple hundred million dollars worth of losses, which is not much.
What kind of losses are we talking about?
Well, people who, steered money to fake projects, people who applied for money to, you know, fund my other brother, Daryl Contracting Company, whatever it was. You know, these are basically fraud claims. When there's $800 billion on the table, invariably people try to line their pockets with it. And there's been about 1,500 fraud cases already pursued by the government and another 1,500 still pending. But ultimately, they're concluding that there's really only about $6 billion worth of the spending that they think was questioned, basically, which is a tiny fraction when you think about $800 billion worth. But there's a great quote from one of the Republicans. He says, okay, well, so you poured $800 billion down the drain. Just because you didn't spill any doesn't mean it was still a good idea.
Interesting quote there. So, hearing all of these things involved with the stimulus package and its anniversary, the fifth anniversary, which was Monday, it doesn't seem like there's a resounding yay or nay on how well it worked, at least in Washington and Congress. But is there a sense in the general public how this panned out?
That's an interesting question. You know, I have not seen recently at least, any kind of polling that indicates that people really remember it. You know, I mean, this is the funny thing about how our government works is that we get all excited about stuff in brief periods of time, and then we kind of forget. Right. I mean, I don't, again, this is what I meant about it's not going to be a 2014 election issue, I don't think, because people just sort of forget that it happened. There are still people, obviously, who believe that the Obama philosophy of governing is wrong. Right. It's spending too much. It's racking up too much debt. And this becomes part of that narrative. But I do think it is clear that the American people feel, and this has been shown in the polling, that the economy is getting better. That their situation is generally getting a little bit better, and that the country is moving towards the right direction. I think there is a lot of sense that it has been happening too slowly, and still a great deal of concern about debt and deficit and stuff like that. But in general, the economic signals have been pretty good, and I think that to the degree that picks up any speed from a political standpoint, that's good for the Democrats. If people feel like the economy is getting better, that's good for the incumbent party.
Right. So it sounds like you've got a lot of people feeling that things are slowly getting better, but not a lot of people pointing at the stimulus package and saying, thank you very much, Obama White House, which is, of course,
exactly,
what they would like.
Well, and even the Obamas, I'll say for the White House, they don't say we did the stimulus and then quit, right? One of the reasons why it's hard for them to take credit for the stimulus specifically is because then they say, and by the way, look at the five things we did after that. We also did, this thing on jobs, and we also did this thing on minimum wage, or also the Health Care Act is having an effect, right? So there's all these other things that they say build on the stimulus as the foundation. It's not like we started, we passed that, and then we quit. So that's why it's hard to go back to that particular bill and say, there is our achievement, there is our spark for the recovery.
So final question for you. There are a couple of representatives leaving Congress. Gloria McLeod from California is leaving, and also Rush Holt of New Jersey. Any idea about why they're leaving and whether it signals anything other than people just kind of wanting to move on?
Rush Holt doesn't surprise me. He ran for Senate and lost, and now he's kind of bored, and there's not a whole lot of places to go up at that point once he's been in the House for a while. The McLeod one's kind of interesting. She's only been in Congress for 2 years. She's a first-termer, so she's really finishing her second year, and she's leaving to run for a county commissioner office in San Bernardino County, which it doesn't sound like a step up
right on
the political chart. I can't speak to, obviously everyone makes their own judgments here. Part of it is, in California particularly, if you are a backbench Democrat, you have no meaningful role in Congress. I mean, there's a bunch of senior Democrats ahead of you. You're in the minority party in the House of Representatives anyway. You can't really get much done. In state government, you can represent more people working for the state, than you can working in Congress.
So, and we're going to have to leave it there. Paul, it was great to talk to you again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely my pleasure, Veronica. We'll talk to you.
That was Paul Singer, politics and Congress editor at USA Today.